Joining us now, Commodores coach Tim Corbin. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Corbs.
Good morning, Greg. John, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I want this interview to be about you, but can I tell you a little personal thing? Sunday night, I was my last night on vacation, and I had to get up early the next morning and drive. So I got home, went out to dinner. I'm sitting on my balcony overlooking the Gulf of Mexico. I'm going to get a good night's sleep, and I start listening to the Vanderbilt baseball game at 1 o'clock, and I don't go to bed till 2. So thank you, Tim, for 5 hours of entertainment Sunday night.
Yeah, that's right. That was a long night, wasn't it?
That, and I heard a comment from you that I thought was interesting, just the way things played out and sort of the experience of what happened in the Kentucky game, how that didn't close out the way you wanted it to, and how this could have gone one way or the other, and you could very well have been playing Monday. How much do you think you really drew from that experience to Sunday night?
Well, I think the players do. I think they revert back to that moment. And I think sometimes if you have experiences like that, you either rise up and you understand that there's some friction, and you remember what that friction felt like. You remember what that memory felt like, and it's almost resistance. So you resist that situation. And I think that goes into sport. I think that's part of competing. I think when you have experiences like that, you can revert back to them mentally and then understand what it was like when that happened and how you can create a different outcome going forward.
Coach, it had to feel good to see Isaiah Thomas come up with such a big hit and a big moment.
Sure was. I mean, you're always happy for kids when they pull off something like that. I really liked his words after it was over with. And oftentimes when you hear someone speak about an experience, they might not be able to put into words what it was like, but I think he answered it. I wasn't trying to do too much. I was just trying. I knew he had to bring the ball across the plate, and I think that's true. The young man who was pitching had to do that. He had to come to him. And when you look at that swing, as I showed the team yesterday, it was a very simple swing. It was a kid that really kept his eyes down on the ball throughout contact, and where the ball was located, John, was really inside. So if he tried to do too much, he would have pulled off the ball and he would have hooked it foul. He didn't. He kept it straight. That was a straight line drive that went over the fence. So I credit him, but happy for Isaiah, because he's a kid who, you know, from a defensive standpoint, lost contact with the ball, dropped the ball in a big situation, and they scored 5 runs after that moment, so I'm sure in a lot of ways he wanted to redeem himself.
Tim Corbin is our guest, of course, head coach of the Vanderbilt baseball team. Coach, yesterday when you spoke to the media, you had high praise for East Carolina's lineup. Very potent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just because I think they're really well-balanced. They do a lot of different things. They're not going to sit there and just whack at the ball. They're going to try to get on base like, you know, normal, but I think when they get on base, they can push buttons. Their playbook is deeper than most teams. They're willing to do a lot of different things, such as bunt with a runner on third base and two outs and slash and hit and run with runners on first and second. I think areas of offense that a lot of college teams don't tap into because it takes a lot of time to teach, and then you have to have kids that are skilled enough to pull it off. And Cliff's been able to do that. Cliff Godwin, their coach. And they're a very well-coached team. They're very confident. They're very tough. They have the same personality as their coach. And he coached here in 2005. So, you know, I know him very well and stayed close with him. But, it is a very potent offensive team.
Well, you know, obviously the semifinalists for the Golden Spikes Award, the Heisman Trophy of Baseball, had a couple of Commodores. Only three teams had two nominees, Kumar, Jack Leiter. Mississippi State had a couple? and East Carolina had a couple as well, a pitcher and their infielder as well. So certainly the talent. But you mentioned, I guess, Tim, I'm not going to suggest that you're old, but the longer you coach, this coaching tree, you run into a lot of people along the way. I know Backich at Michigan and certainly, right, you know, there, and they were teammates. Him and Cliff Godwin, the coach at ECU, were teammates there. And now someone who was at early stages of your tenure here was your director of baseball operations. Now you're going against. That's got to be gratifying in one way, but you sure pull for that person except when you have to play them.
Right, right. I mean, because you spend a lot of time communicating with these people during the course of the year. You know, Cliff and I spoke at the beginning of the year. We're talking about team development. So you have intimate conversations with these guys, and then when you start playing them, you move away from those conversations. And, you know, Cliff was, you know, I've always stayed close with Cliff. I mean, he wanted to stay here another couple of years, but I really pushed him towards Notre Dame with Paul Mainieri because I really thought that that was, you know, his best avenue to get into coaching, because even when he was in operations here, you knew he was a teacher and coach. But in saying that, you mentioned that they were teammates with together at East Carolina, and they were. And the coach there is one of my best friends from New Hampshire, Keith LeClair, who died of ALS. So we're all kind of connected, intertwined, because of Jack Leggett at Clemson, the East Carolina deal, and then, of course, last week with Elton Pollock at Presbyterian. So, yeah, I think, you know, just the older you get, the more younger guys who either played with you or coached with you become coaches themselves, and then you find yourself in these situations. And I remember, you know, playing in the College World Series against Eric, it was same thing, same feeling. It was like, okay, win or lose, we get beyond this, and, you know, wives are close, so it makes no difference. It's sport, and the kids are playing one another.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin with us on the F&M Bank phone line. I thought Adam Sparks wrote a very heartwarming story. A lady, a Vanderbilt fan, Chelsea Shaw, reached out to you, wanted you to give her a get out of work card for Friday. You obliged, and I thought that was just such a neat story. And the things that you do behind the scenes, I know you're not very comfortable with it when they come out publicly, but what a neat story.
Yeah, I'm just happy you can help someone. I mean, I think that those are situations where I'd always want to try to help someone who wants to get into the ballpark, especially now and knowing what we didn't have last year. I'm not on Twitter often, but I probably go on there once a day to check any type of news stories. But I saw that my name was applied to a message, and so I checked it, and it was she, and I wanted to help her out. So I just wrote a funny note and left it at that, and I'm glad it worked for her. I'm glad she's going to be here.
Well, let's do this. Charlie, Coach Corbin, say hello to Chelsea Shaw. Hello, Chelsea.
Hey, Coach.
Oh, this is a surprise. Hey, Chelsea, how you doing?
I just wanted to come on and say thank you so much. I appreciate everything that you do and how you go above and beyond, and that meant a lot to a lot of people, not just myself. But I just wanted to personally say thank you so, so much.
Well, it's a nice surprise, Chelsea. It's nice hearing your voice, and glad to do it. I'm glad you're going to be here. Your doctor, he was okay with it at the end of it?
He was okay with it. I may have to go to the store and buy him some good stuff, but he's okay with it.
Well, you let me know what you need. I'll give him maybe a couple of T-shirts.
I was going to say, might
my four-wheeler, too.
Might need a Tim Corbin autographed Star V hat, you know, coming his way, right?
Unless, yeah, I mean, not only just the note, but I had to work through COVID, and I know during COVID you were putting all the stuff on Twitter for healthcare people, and that just meant a lot, too. So just the things that you do and how you go above and beyond, it is so, so appreciated.
Well, thank you very much, Chelsea. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you coming on to tell me this as well. Thank you very much. This is a nice surprise.
Well, and now, Chelsea, your Twitter handle, Mrs. Coach Shaw. Are you the wife of a coach, apparently?
Yes, high school football in Middle Tennessee.
Where?
DeKalb County.
Okay. Mm. Well, all right.
Center Hill Lake area.
Sure, sure. Well, hey, we're just happy to get you on. Thank you, Chelsea, and we hear it in your. You'll be there tomorrow, right?
She
screaming, right?
Yeah. She sounds excited.
I'll be there all weekend.
all weekend. All right. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
How cool was that, Coach?
Yeah, that was cool. You guys go above and beyond, don't you? I like that.
Well, we try.
Well, it just I thought it was just a great story, and I said, "Hey, what the heck?" I reached out, and she said, "Sure." And so I think, and so she's off work. Hey, man, can you write me one, maybe? You know,
yeah. My boss's name is Sandy.
But look at us. You know, well, you're off to Philly tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm actually getting out of here for a couple days.
You know, you're preempting your baseball game. Tim is preempting our show at 10:45.
I think people
morning.
Would much rather listen to the Vandy boys and listen to us ramble for 2 hours. Hey, Coach, you said something really poignant, too, yesterday, just the fact that, and it's so true, it's not always the best team that wins. It's a team that is playing the best. And so how much have you stressed that to your players about this weekend that, hey, we have to be at our best. We understand, you know, we are who we are, the program that we are. But East Carolina is coming in here expecting to win this thing.
Yeah, they know that. I think it's not too much about playing their best. I think when you want or teams play their best, it's really when they feel their best. And I that's all I care about for them is just to understand that they deserve to be here, number one. It's a gift to be here. So if those two things apply, then just enjoy what you're doing. And when you enjoy what you're doing and you're passionate about it, then you have an opportunity to play your best. And if you play your best, then the outcomes really take care of themselves. If it's good enough, it's good enough. If it's not good enough, it's not good enough. And those are the things you have to live with. But you understand that, you know, the chances of winning a high level are very slim in college baseball because there's so many teams. And really what you can control is how consistent you are in the days in between the games. And these guys have done that. And oftentimes when you do things like that, it gives you opportunity to survive these types of environments. So we'll see what happens.
Certainly Kumar, then Jack, if necessary, Sunday, reverting back to a what if that had gone to Monday, would that have been Christian Little? And is he the Sunday guy, or is that just going to be a feel for you if it gets that far? Don't want it to get that far, okay? But certainly. if it, you know, something that you got to plan for, is that trotting him out? And, you know, the thing about it is with him being 17 years old, he's really sort of had a disjointed season anyway and not in a natural rotation. So that might help him because he hadn't pitched in a while.
Yeah, he hasn't pitched in a while. The last time he pitched was at the SEC tournament. But when you play in a regional and you only play three games, you limit opportunities for the other pitchers on the team. There's several out there that could have pitched for us. But I think we just get through each game individually and then realign your pitching the next day. I think with these super regionals, because you know at the very most you can play three games. Now, as far as innings are concerned, you don't know anything. You know, you potentially could play 27, but you could play more than that. So I think it's made sense through the years to play the game, use what you need to use. You know you're not going to use lighter, but outside of that, you use what you need to use in order to win the game. And if that means Riley, if that means Little, if it means Berkwich, if it means anyone, you pitch it that way.
And also, I found interesting the interview. You were asked about the difference of Kumar now and then when he arrived on the scene 2 years ago. Something really stuck in my head is that he's learned how to slow the ball down. I thought that was really, because people can learn to set on things, I guess, if you keep coming at the same pace, same arm angle, same spin rate, all of that different kind of stuff. His evolution is more of a smarter pitcher, I guess, and I guess that comes with experience and age.
It definitely comes with experience because you understand when you get to this level that velocity does not equal success unless you know how to use velocity, unless you know how to spot velocity. But what equals success here is certainly throwing strikes, but the ability to throw your secondary pitches for strikes too and land those. Because oftentimes if you get into counts that are predictable fastball counts for college hitters, at least in the SEC, then balls become whacked. If you took all the balls this year that have been hit really hard inside of our conference and then you apply the count to them, then you're basically looking at 2-0, 2-1, 3-1. What you have to do at this level is be able to slow the ball down in those counts. And when you start doing that, then the hitter is less predictable because he doesn't know that anymore that you're predictable. So he can't, his approach is a little bit scattered. And that's the difference. And as good as Kumar's stuff is, as good as Jack's stuff is, as good as any pitcher that's ever been in this league, they have to be able to decelerate the ball in order to have some type of success.
Tim, you know we're pulling for you. Good luck this weekend, and I actually don't need you to write me an excuse. I'm going to be at the game Saturday, so there you go.
There you go.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it very much. Always good talking to you as well.
All right, thank you, Tim. Good luck this weekend.
Yep.